Welcome to Mosaic Church, and thank you for joining us here online. To prepare for today's message, we encourage you to utilize the Mosaic Cincinnati app. There you can view the message notes, put in prayer requests, and so much more. Enjoy the message.
But today we're going to talk about a kind of a tough topic as we continue our Sifted series. This is week number 3, and we'll have one more week next week. But we're going to talk this morning about the things that we try to hide. Now, every single person, I don't care who you are, you probably have a room or a drawer or a place in your house or in your life that you'd rather other people not see. And so or maybe it's a closet, maybe it's the glove box in your car. Hey, if you've got that place in mind, just raise your hand. Come on, a little audience participation. All right, some of you are honest, the rest of you are lying in the house of God. And so I'm just messing with you today. But you know that's place that you don't want anybody to see. It's disheveled, it's unorganized, it's messy. It's the place that you shove everything when company's coming over and just act like it doesn't exist. Maybe it's your car or a place in your car. On the outside, it's washed, it's waxed, it's perfect. Even if they look inside, everything seems to be in order, but don't you dare open the glove box. It's a booby trap, right? Or that thing in between the seats, you open it and you're like, I have no idea what's in there. I haven't dug through it in a few years. And by all means, don't open the trunk. Is anybody, right? Am I getting to anybody today? There's some places in your life like that. Maybe for you, it's the garage. It's like the house looks great, but don't go in the garage. It's like that one door that when company comes over, you're like, kids, don't open that door. And don't you dare let one of your friends go through the garage. They will trip on something and will have an insurance claim, right? Maybe it's the basement. I've been in people's houses before where they're like, oh, do not go down there. It is a royal mess. And so you get it. There's always a place in your life where you just don't want people to go. Now, there's probably a couple OCD people in the crowd today that are just cringing at the rest of us. And to you, I would just say, have mercy on the rest of us, the weaker vessels. Come on, right? And sometimes we get super motivated and we do a little spring cleaning. And some of you, anybody do some spring cleaning in the last few weeks? Come on, anybody? Right? Here we go. And usually what that looks like is we actually go through the stuff, but sometimes we don't even make it all the way through, and we make some progress. It's like the pile got smaller, but then we leave the rest for next time, whenever next time is. And you think to yourself, well, it's good enough until next year. The problem is that many times we carry this attitude of putting up with unseen spaces that are disheveled and messy and organized and out of sorts. We carry this attitude over to our walk with Jesus. The outward parts of our lives, he has access to. We look pretty good. We even ironed our shirt or our blouse or our dress or whatever you're wearing today to come to church. We ironed our clothes. We look good on the outside. The outward parts he has access to. The hidden parts, not so much. But listen, and this is the key today. Following Jesus means to live in the light of his presence. And his light invades everything. It invades every part. And if we're faithful to follow, the more we follow him, the more his light invades every single part of our life. And so let me tell you this morning. Fill in the blanks in your notes or on the Mosaic Cincinnati app, either place, you can follow along. Long-term outward success is directly connected to long-term private integrity. And there is no place in your life that this is more true than in your walk with Jesus. If you want to be successful in your walk with Jesus over the long haul, it's going to be directly connected to your private integrity. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus is full of grace. He's full of grace. But he did not die on the cross for us to turn around and act like he didn't. Come on. And so the grace of God and the fact that we should live in light of the cross, they are not two competing things. They are two very real things that we need to take into account as we look to and follow Jesus. And so what's outward has to line up with what's private. And don't get me wrong today, we're not talking about perfection. This is not going to be a message about being legalistic or worrying even about what other people do or what is hidden in other people's lives. No, we're going to talk about the things we personally try to hide. Now, the classic argument to this is, well, what they don't know won't hurt them. What people see, that won't hurt anybody but me, and I'm okay with it. We think to ourselves, well, if I keep this part of my life secret, you know, they'll never know. They'll never know. My wife will never know. My kids will never know. My workplace, they'll never know. You might think, oh, I've just become an expert at hiding things, at keeping things under the rug. No one will ever know. Here's the only problem with that. That doesn't hold up because Scripture is incredibly clear, and we're going to unpack it today, that what's done in secret never stays secret. What's done in secret never stays secret. And we are forced at some point, whether it's by circumstance, whether it's just the bubbling up of what happens in private and it overflows into our public life, but we are forced at some point to reckon with our private life. And so in this series, we're looking at different ways that we're sifted, right? Sift as wheat is a metaphor in Luke chapter 22 that could also be expressed as to shake someone apart or break a person down. Jesus said to Simon in Luke 22:31, he said, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat, but I pleaded for you in prayer. I pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. And if you've missed any of the weeks of this series, I encourage you to go back and check them out, because it's incredibly important to know in our Christian life, when things get hard, how do we handle it? What do we do when we're tempted? When there is persecution? When, you know, there's things in our lives we'd rather not talk about, but they bubble up to the surface anyway. What do we do? What do we do? The longer you follow Jesus, this is the premise of the series, the more areas of your life get tested and the more decisions we have to make to keep following Jesus, right? I know that's been true of me, and these are tough topics, but we got to talk about them. And so I know that for me, you know, some of the most sifting times in my life was when something that I thought was private became public. And it's going to happen. We can't avoid it. Listen to these verses. Luke 8:17, it says, for all that is secret will eventually be brought into the open, and everything that is concealed will be brought to light and made known to all. That's one of the scarier verses in the Bible, isn't it? It's like, whoa, Jesus is going to open the drawer or open the closet doors. Romans 2:16, it says, and this is the message I proclaim, that the day is coming when God, through Jesus Christ, will judge everyone's secret life. 1 Corinthians 4:5, so don't make judgments about anyone ahead of time before the Lord returns, for he will bring our darkest secrets to light and will reveal our private motives. Then God will give to each one whatever praise is due. Numbers 32:23. But if you fail to keep your word, then you have sinned against the Lord, and you may be sure that your sin will find you out. Do you see a theme? Jeremiah 23:24. Can anyone hide from me in a secret place? This, am I not everywhere in all the heavens and the earth, says the Lord. He's everywhere. He sees it all. And then Luke 12:1-3. Jesus turned first to his disciples and warned them. The time is coming when everything that is covered up will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all. Whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered behind closed doors will be shouted from the housetops for all to hear. Now, this is really interesting because when Jesus told this to the disciples, there was actually a crowd. But first, he addressed to the disciples, and he was warning them against hypocrisy. He was warning them and making sure that there's no disconnect in their life, no difference from how they portrayed themselves publicly and how they handled themselves privately. And then after this, he went on to address the crowds. And I encourage you to check out that whole passage in Luke chapter 12. It's a sobering passage. And then lastly, in Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. And so I wanted to read all those verses to you just to show you. And that's not even all of them that talk in Scripture about secret things or hidden things or about the disconnect sometimes in our life between the public and the private. But there is a lot of reason to think about and to address the hidden things in our lives. Huge reasons. And we just read a bunch of them. Jesus sees. But the amazing thing is, he loves us so much that he's paved and created a way out. Amen? Amen. And so we're going to talk this morning about four things that we tried to hide, and we're going to move quickly. And at the end of our service, we're going to have a little response time today. We're going to sing another worship song, and we're really going to let this sink into our hearts. Because this isn't just about us being afraid that God sees everything. There's more to it than that, and I hope that you see it today. So number one, the things we try to hide, number one is sin and shame. You know, this is probably the most obvious one on the list today, that when we're ashamed about something that we don't want other people to know, we just hide it. And we feel better when it's hidden because we feel like if they can't see it, then they don't know, and maybe we'll just ignore it, and it'll just go away. But here's the catch with that. It's impossible to follow Jesus and to keep things in the dark. There's a fancy word for this. It's called denial. Jesus sees it all. We're not hiding anything from him, and he's the only one in our lives that we should elevate their opinion to the highest level. And so if we're going to care about what someone thinks, we need to care about what he thinks. And we're not hiding anything from him. We're going to read in a verse in a minute about how we follow Jesus into the light, right? Into the light, and his light shines in our darkest places. Culturally, this is a really tough topic, though, because so many things that are not seen as sinful, the Bible calls sinful. And so it creates a little bit of a rub in our life. And what I see happening these days is that people, they don't try to hide anything anymore. There is just a public acceptance of things that the Bible calls not just sinful, but evil and destructive in our lives. And instead of trying to hide those things because of shame anymore, we've completely redefined life. And we're not even ashamed anymore. At least it comes across that way publicly. And so but let me tell you this morning, and I hope that this gets in your heart because I feel like it's a word from the Lord. Just because you're not trying to hide anything doesn't mean there isn't sin in your life. You might be so comfortable with it. I had a pastor one time that he would say, it's like you got this little pet sin that it may be hidden or it may be unhidden, but it doesn't bother you anymore. But that doesn't mean it's not bothering Jesus. And so it just means that you're hiding your sin behind a belief that it isn't sin. Which, that's a really scary place to be. We're ignoring the reality of God's word. But when we do that, when we ignore the reality of God's word, guess what? It doesn't change our hearts. It hurts our hearts. It damages our hearts. And this is an incredibly dangerous place to be. It's a great deception when we try to hide the shame in our life by acting like everything is okay. And we tell ourselves, and we have mental games, and we say, well, I don't feel bad for that. There's nothing wrong with it. We say things like, that's just old school thinking. No one thinks like that anymore. We say things like, oh, everybody else just needs to open their mind because times have changed, right? And we hide behind, and this is where we try to hide it. We hide behind a newfound moral superiority of our own making. We've created it. But the Bible is really clear about what we should do with sin and shame. The Bible says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. It says, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. And so what do we do with the things in our life that don't line up with God's word? We confess them to a close friend and a trusted mentor. And we pray, and God will be faithful to heal our hearts. Acts 3:19 says it like this, now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. How cool is that? I want to really encourage you. You don't have to put it on Facebook. You don't have to tell the whole world, but a trusted friend, a trusted leader, a trusted counselor in your life can help you chart a course away from your sin and your shame and more in line with God's word. Ephesians 5:8-14, it says, for once you were full of darkness. And I don't know about you, but we never really appreciate the cross and what Jesus did for us until we realize the depths of the darkness in our life. And it says, for once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord, so live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. I love that. The light of Jesus, what did this verse say? Produces what is good and right and true. So many times when we talk about sin and shame, people see it as just a subtraction. Like, oh, Joe, you just want me to not do all these things that are bad. And that is part of it. The Bible calls us to walk away from sin. But the thing that we miss so much of the time is that we're not just walking away from sin, we're walking into light that produces what is good and right and true. And so we're walking out of darkness into God's glorious light. And that's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. You're gaining a huge addition to your life when you walk away from sin and shame and into the light of God. It's a huge addition that outweighs the shame. It outweighs the regret of whatever you might be hiding. It's an amazing thing. It's the light of his presence. And so we try to hide sin and shame, but when we follow Jesus, we walk into the light where all of it needs to be exposed to his presence so that we can experience healing. Amen? Amen. The second thing that we tried to hide is our possessions. It's our possessions. Jesus and the apostles had a lot to say about our possessions. And the joke that I always like to use that my dad kind of messed up one day is, you know, I've always said that that you'll never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul, right? That you're not going to take anything with you to the grave. You know, once you breathe your last breath, it really doesn't matter how much you had in your 401k. It really doesn't matter the mound of things that you compiled on this earth. Now, I used to say that all the time, and so, of course, my dad sends me a picture on Facebook of a hearse pulling a U-Haul. And so, apparently, it has happened, but I don't think the driver of that hearse was headed to his funeral, right? He was just driving a hearse. But the principle is true. The Bible says it like this, Proverbs 11, 24 through 25, it says, "Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed." You know, I think it's really interesting that many times in life we have saving goals. We have retirement goals. You know, and there's some wisdom to that. Even biblical wisdom. The Bible says that it's good to leave an inheritance for your kids and your family. And so, don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking saving money or being wise with your finances. But to go through life and to not have giving goals, to not have a strategy in place for your generosity, so that your possessions are not hidden from the Lord, but they're open to the Lord's leading and they're open to the Lord's guiding. You know, when we hide our possessions from the Lord, it's a huge mistake. Because when we hide our possessions from the Lord, what do? They shrink. But when we let the Lord use our possessions for his glory, they are blessed by God. It's an amazing principle that you find all throughout Scripture. The third thing that we try to hide is our abilities and our talents. Our abilities and our talents. Why do we do this? Why do we do it? And there's a few types of people, and it almost depends on like what your abilities or what your talents are, right? And I can say this because I am one, but I'm a musician, and for years and years and years, I led worship as a part of my ministry job, my vocation, and I love it. It's an amazing thing, but it's kind of funny. Like, a lot of times musicians, and man, I'm so thankful for our worship team, and they lead with great hearts, and they just have great attitudes, but sometimes musicians are like, "Hey, look at me," and they want the whole world to see their abilities and talents. But then sometimes, and I've even seen musicians do this, they're like, "I don't want anybody to know that I do such and such, because then they're going to ask me to do such and such." And this could be anything. It's like, "I'm really good with working with kids, but don't tell anybody because they'll ask me to work with the kids." Or, "I'm really good, you know, with, you know, you fill in the blank, but you almost don't want anybody to know because you just want to relax." And there's nothing wrong with taking a break. There's nothing wrong with a good balance in your schedule. But sometimes we prefer the ease and the comfort of complacency and plenty instead of the rigors of sacrifice that are required to meet the needs of a world that is really suffering. And this is why God put together this thing called the body of Christ, and he gave us all talents and all kinds of abilities so that we can serve each other. Jesus called the servant that hid his talents under the tent, he called him wicked and lazy. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be called that when I meet Jesus face to face. And see, the kingdom principle when it comes to hiding our talents is that when everybody does their part, there is always more than enough. And so your job isn't to look and worry about what everybody else is doing. Your job is to lay your abilities and your talents at Jesus' feet and say, "God, use me. However you want to use me, whatever you want to do, I'm here for you." Amen? Now, does this mean that you need to sign up for the nursery today and you're going to be in there every week for the rest of your life? No. A healthy, functioning church or body of Christ should not operate like that. Why? Because when everybody does their part, there's more than enough. Because God is a God of abundance, not of scarcity. The church should never, ever, 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 ever be a place of lack. We should never have a lack of leaders. a lack of talents, a lack of abilities, a lack of finances. It should be a place where good deeds flow out and God gets the glory. Why? Because we're not hiding our abilities or hiding our talents. Matthew 5, 14 through 16 says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that," and this is the big why, "everyone will praise your heavenly Father." You see, your talents aren't about you. What God has given you is not about you. It's about bringing glory to God. And so church, the body of Christ, should be a place where good deeds flow out and God gets the glory. Lastly, number four today, we try to hide the light and the truth that God has put in our hearts, right? We do. We try to hide the light and the truth that God has given us. And I've been there. I just want to be the first one to say today that there have been times in my life where I know I should have spoken, and I didn't. And I hid what I knew that God wanted me to say. You know, sometimes we go to church in secret. Not because we have to, not because we're persecuted. Aren't you thankful we don't have to undergo persecution for our faith like many people in the rest of the world do here in America? It's an amazing thing. You know, there might be some social persecution now and then if you stand up for what you believe in, but nothing like what the disciples went through or some of our friends in churches around the world go through. But we still go to church in secret because we're secretly embarrassed of the faith that we profess. Right? And sometimes we hide behind a veil of, well, I just don't know what to say. Or I just don't know how to say it. Or Joe, I'm just not good with words. Or Joe, they just don't want to listen to me. Who am I? Right? And with all the grace in my heart, can I just kind of point something out? It's almost like we have enough fear of God in us to keep us coming back to church and keep asking Him for forgiveness of our sins. But we don't have enough of the fear of God in us to be a witness. It's tough. And I'm preaching just as much to myself right now as I am to you. But this fear of being open about the light and the truth that we have, it can drive us to some tough things. It can drive us to be lazy. It can drive us to be complacent, embarrassed, apprehensive, fearful. Or we just lack vision. We lack willingness. We lack commitment. We lack initiative. We lack endurance to set the light and the truth that we've been given out before those we meet. We just want to keep quiet within our own world, unwilling to sacrifice and deny ourselves in order to go and share with those that are still in darkness and in ignorance. This is tough, isn't it? We try to hide it. But Scripture says in Romans 1:16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the good news about Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes." Think about that. I'm not ashamed. Why? Because it's the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. I don't know about you, but I never want to be the lid on the power of God at work in somebody else's life. I don't want to be so ashamed, so embarrassed, so stuck in the opinions of others that when given the opportunity, I don't live out good deeds in front of other people so that God gets all the glory. I don't want to keep my mouth shut and be silent when I could speak words of love and of grace and of truth into somebody's life. I want to be ready at the drop of a hat to share my story, to give a word of encouragement, to invite somebody to accept Christ. Why? Because it's the job that he gave us to do, right? I want the heartbeat of my life to say, use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Use me. But God can only use me when I'm willing to be used. He can only use me when first I step out of, you know, these hidden places in my life. I step out of the shame and the sin, and I stop trying to hide my possessions and my abilities and my talents. I stop trying to hide the light and the truth that God has given me. And I say, God, whatever you want to do in and through my life, I'm ready and I'm willing. And I don't know about you, but what happened in my life was the first step in God using me was for him to clean my inner house. To clean out the hidden things in my life. And when God cleaned out the hidden things in my life, the passion for his word and the passion for following him, and there was space in the room, and there was room for his Holy Spirit to do his transformative work in my heart and in my life. But as long as I tried to keep everything hidden, there's no room for him to work in the inner parts. Now, I'm not perfect. I'm in process just like you. But we can be completely open to God's leading. Listen, trying to be an ambassador for Christ without giving him full access to your inner and private life, we see what that can do. It's like you can be a spiritual wrecking ball. It's like you can do some good for God, but because you didn't address the private things in your life and then they come to light, man, it can really hurt a lot of people. This is why Jesus gave such a strong warning to the Pharisees of his day, because they were religious on the outside and they were evil on the inside. The outside was clean, the inside was a mess. Can I just challenge you today? Jesus wants all of you. He wants the hidden parts. He wants the parts you think are important. He wants the parts you think aren't that important. He wants it all. And it's not to make your life miserable. It's because his way is the best way. Because his way, walking in the light of his forgiveness and the light of his grace and the light of his plan, there's no other way that is going to be beneficial and good for your life. It doesn't exist. And so stand this morning with me. We're going to sing this song together. And it has such a simple message. It says, use me, Lord. Here's my life. It's an offering. I give myself to you. And so as we sing this song, I want to encourage you to lay your life down at Jesus' feet today and say, God, you can have it all. You can have the hidden parts. You can have the parts that people can't see. You can have the parts that people do see. I don't want to hide anything from your presence. I surrender everything to you today. Amen. Let's sing it together.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's message. We look forward to having you back next week.